or one or two prayers. So just feel free being led by the Lord. Okay? Let us turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Let me repeat again. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Now, as you know that we are fellowshipping about this life, which is with the Word. Can I hear it? Okay. Can you hear now? No? Not loud enough? Okay. Now, as you know, this is our purpose in the afternoon is try to have a very effective Bible study. That is, we know that Christian life is a life with the Word. And tonight, this afternoon, we will continue what we have shared. Now, you remember three requirements or three elements for an effective Bible study. And we talk about the Word, the man, and the method. Now, we haven't finished with the man. When we talk about a kind of man, God will equip for effective Bible study. And we mentioned Brother Nee's book, E-Search, the Scriptures, published by Christian Fellowship Publisher. And this is indeed a wonderful book. I wish that every one of you can have this one. And actually, this book can be very profitable for your whole life. You always have to come back to this book. And in this book, it talks about some conditions of the man that are equipped to study the Word. Now, it's better now? It's better. Okay, thank you. Now, I think we based on this, we consider this as textbooks. I want to add something or try to make some illustration for you to understand this book much better. Now, about the man, yesterday we talked about Paul, the man of God, man of Word. Now, today we will talk about John, Apostle John, the man of Word. Now, both of them, they were the ministers of the Word of God. But there's a difference there, you see. Even both of them were the men of the Word. But the emphasis of these two different persons are different. For example, we could say that Paul actually was the man of the Logos. You see, that's why if you go to Bible college or seminary, then you will discover that actually one of the most important courses given is either on Romans or on Galatians. And indeed, we know that Paul was very, actually Paul was given such a portion in the Word of God. He actually indeed was the man of the locus. He really knew the Word of God, and also he could deliver the Word of God in a very systematic way. So when you study letters to Romans or letter to Galatians, you would discover it is true. Because in these two books, actually, Paul tried to bring us to the school of Christ. You see, everything is systematic and also very, very exact, very rigid, very logical. And because Paul was well trained in the school of Gamaliel, that's why he was capable to do that. So God would like to use him in that aspect. But then John the Apostle was completely different. As you know that he was not well educated. Actually, he was only one of the fishermen beside the Sea of Galilee. So he was, we could say that he was one of the commoners at that time. He just one of the common people at that time. But thank God, we know that John was indeed the man of the word. How do we know? Because just from his gospel, and also from his epistles, and also from his revelation, you could well judge that he was indeed the man of the word. Now, he told us some secret, again, of himself. How? Because we want to know how he studied the word, you know, how he was able to manage to understand the word. And so we want to go to his writings and try to find out what difference between John and Paul. Now, many of you probably know that, you know, in the church history, some people who love the Lord and always have a wonderful and sweet communion with the Lord, we call these people mystics. So some people, they like to label John as one of the early mystics. Actually, in the Bible, no doubt about that. So that was very true. But don't forget, if you really want to find out who are the mystics in the Bible, in the New Testament, now, we should be very fair. If you really know Bible very well, you know, if you also know mysticism quite well, I'm talking about evangelical mysticism. Okay, if you really know this very well, then not only John was a mystic, Paul was also a mystic. Remember, it was Paul who first gave us so-called formula in Christ and Christ in us. So that's union with Christ. And Paul really has found out that a wonderful and major truth in New Testament. So we cannot say that John was more mystical than Paul. That was not fair. But definitely John has his own part, his own portion. God really can use him. And then you discover he was very careful even when he wrote the Word of God by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And if you read his gospel, you will know that he was indeed a man of the word. Now let me just give you a simple illustration, okay? For example, if you study 21 chapters of Gospel according to John, now you will find the word bosom, B-O-S-O-M, bosom. Now this word only appeared in this gospel two times. Okay, so let us read it quickly. John chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. So you see, the Son was in the bosom of the Father. So remember, that's one place. But then let's turn to another place. John 13, verse 23. There was reclined on Jesus' breast one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, the English breast here, actually, in Greek, is the same word, bosom. See? So, now the second scene here, you discover John. And we know this must be John, okay? John was in the bosom of the Son. So here you have two pictures. Son was in the bosom of the Father, and John representing us in the bosom of the Son. So these two places, these two sentences give you the whole outline of the Gospel according to John. So if you ask me, now what is this book about? If you want to know what is this Gospel of John about, very simple. Just two phrases, just two beautiful things. First, Jesus, the Son of God, was in the bosom of his Father. And then John, as disciple of Christ, was in the bosom of the Son. So you see that? That's another word speaking about union. When the Son was in the bosom of Father, that is a wonderful union between the Son and the Father. And then, when you come to another aspect, that is, John was in the bosom of the Son. So it means that our union with Christ. So our union with Christ, just like the union between Christ and Father. So that's what the whole Gospel of John is about. On one hand, objectively, and John tried to present the Son of God to us. So you know this book, actually, the main emphasis is Jesus, the Son of God. But then Matthew, the King, and Mark, the servant of God, and Luke, the man, the perfect man, and John, the Son of God. So that's the main emphasis, but not something objective, you see. That means John will tell us this is something we can experience. This can be part of our experience. So that's why he talk about light, talk about life, and talk about love, all begin with the letter L. So you see, so that's what John wants to tell us. So it means that the reason he present Christ to us, then we may have a desire and we may have an experience to have a wonderful union with Christ. So it is a wonderful revelation. You see that? Just using these two words, actually John himself already tried to give us the synopsis of this whole book. Now unfortunately, sometimes we look for somewhere else, you know, and most likely we miss the mark. And that's why in this book, you discover John present Christ as always telling people, I. You remember, I am the way, I am the door, and so on and so forth. Now, if you use computer to find out how many I there, 120 times. But then he also present his Father. He said, my Father and I are one. And how many times he mentioned the Father? Again, 120 times. Okay. So this simply tells us he always tried to find, actually indeed the Son of God. So he is no problem. Definitely he is the man of the word. No doubt about that. But don't forget, then God, our Lord, prepared him. He was one of the first disciples who followed the Lord. You know, because he heard his master, John the Baptist, saying, behold the Lamb. And then he followed the Lamb. And from that time on, now, somehow, he became the follower of the Lamb. So that's why in Revelation, you have a phrase, the follower of the Lamb. You know, so they just follow them wherever he goes. And for that reason, now, only in Gospel of John, you have three Passovers. Now, if you study transfer three Gospels, only one Passover. So based on that, you probably will judge that our Lord Jesus only lived 31 years old, only lived 31 years on this earth. But that was not true. 33. How do you know? Because John marked that for us. Because after he decided to follow the Lamb, then Passover become very important to him. You see, Passover become. So then, when he tried to write his diary, then probably he will say, now this is the first year I follow the Lamb, the first Passover, second Passover, third Passover. But don't forget, on the third Passover, he, from his own very eyes, he saw Jesus was on the cross. Not the real Lamb, but the real Passover. In the first two, he and Peter went to the temple. You know, probably he was helping, because of course only the priest was slain, the lamb. And then Peter and John probably shall try to get the lamb and prepare for, and try to have the feast. So most likely, we know that he mentioned three Passovers. Why? Because once he met the Lamb, the Lamb of God, then this did definitely change his whole life. So remember, even these Gospels, many people said is a spiritual gospel, or some people say fourth gospel. Why they say fourth gospel? Because most of the scholars, they don't believe that this was written by John, because they think John can never write the gospel like that. For example, he used the word logos. So then people tried to dig that out. They thought that probably 500 years ago, there was a great philosopher, and he used the word logos. So probably the writer of this gospel must have borrowed something from there. So for almost 100 years, if you go to theological school, now many professors and students, they never believe that this should be John actually was the author of this gospel, because they thought it's impossible for someone who was not educated, who was only a fisherman, and how do you expect from him? But thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, it will really surprise us. You know, Paul has embraced three cultures at that time, and God used him. He was indeed a man of the word. But the same thing with John. So, brothers and sisters, now you can see, if you really follow the Lord, what kind of man our Lord can make out of us, you see? And so through the working of the cross, John could write such a wonderful gospel. But don't forget, our Lord, while he was on earth, called John and his brother the sons of thunders, remember? Sons of thunders. So he thundered all the time. What does that mean? This person is very violent. Somehow lots of TNT in his bosom, you know? So he will say, if he used the word bosom, means lots of TNT in bosom. So you don't know when the volcano explodes. And now you remember one day when Jesus was not well received in Samaria, and then he explodes. And he asked the Lord, now why don't we just like it? Because he knows the Bible. He knows the Bible story about Elijah. He said, how about let's just ask fire come down from heaven? And you know, our Lord said to him, turned to him saying, you do not know what kind of spirit you have. You see, this is not a spirit of a lamb. This is a violent spirit. And also, you see more than one incident. You know that he thundered all the time. So, brothers and sisters, if God had to do some work with John, transforming him, and from the son of thunder to the apostle of love. So, that was very amazing. You know, and do you expect the word love from offender for such a violent man. It's almost impossible. But thank the Lord, who told us God is love? John. Think about it. So remember, for John to utter that word, God is love. Now behind that phrase, you know how much transforming work God was doing through that man. So brothers, if you really want to become the man of God, a man of word, the man of the word, now don't be discouraged. Sometimes, according to ourselves, we know that we are not adequate. You know, we probably are not gifted or we are not privileged as Paul. But don't forget, if you really become his disciple, you know, and then he will perfect us. Our Lord will perfect us. He will make us something that we never expect. And so, brothers and sisters, let me put it this way. If you ask John, now what will you be? Of course, John, but one day anyway, he became a fisherman, and very, very successful one. You know, that's why he has quite good connection with the family of priests. So if you study Bible well, some Bible scholars believe that John must be very wealthy. And so actually he was quite successful in his field. But no one, even John himself, he never expected one day he really would become the man of the word. What do you mean by that? Because everybody thinks it must be a great scholar who wrote this wonderful gospel. But after 100 years, after since 1947, whole thing changed. Before that, almost for 100 years, you ask any Bible scholars, and most of them, they will say, oh, this is only four gospels. But only after the Dead Sea Scroll, then people to come back to ask the same question. And finally, I think many of them, they were convinced that John was the author. So brothers and sisters, think about it. And if John's gospel ought to be written by a Greek scholar, then what does that mean? You see? And John was nothing but a fisherman. How much he could learn, you know, how much he could contribute to this world. But to our surprise, and you see how God really can use John in such a way. Now the reason is very simple, because John really surrendered himself to the Lord, and he was willing to be transformed from a violent person to a beautiful personality of love. So you see, so behind this, the Lord indeed had done some wonderful work with John. But then, very interesting, when you go, for example, if you study Revelations, of course, many people study Revelation, they want to find the seven balls, seven trumpet, and all this. But when I study Revelation, I try to find out how he quote the Old Testament. You see, you can see many pictures there actually were from Old Testament. Seven wraths of God remind you then 10 plagues of Moses. So if you study Revelation, you not only see something in see Exodus, you also see something from Genesis. For example, Antichrist. You know, actually, in the mind of John, where did he get that picture of Antichrist? Part of it was borrowed from Genesis. So if you really study Revelation carefully, then you really know how he studied his Bible. Now, yesterday we mentioned that when Paul studied his Bible, his Old Testament, he always quote the Old Testament with exact quotation, exact citation, not allusions, word for word. So he was very accurate. So that's why we conclude that he must you must have memorized the word of God, because at that time there was no concordance, the Bible never divided into verses and chapters. So how could he put everything together and in such an accurate way? He must have applied his heart to memorize almost the whole Old Testament. You know, but we don't know the detail, but definitely something happened like this. But then if you compare John with Paul, and going through this last book of the Bible, then you discover actually there were 348 quotations from Old Testament in that book. But very interesting, 348 allusions. You don't find any quotation which is exact citation. Think about it. That's really something. You see that? All these quotations are illusion, not word for word. So now you can come to the conclusion, and John must be very poor in his memory. He even cannot recite one verse. You are much better than he. You're much better than he. Why? Because at least probably you can recite John chapter 3, verse 13. Verse 16, you see? But think about it. To your surprise, John even did not know how to cite one of them accurately. No. One verse almost, but not exact at all. So if you are curious, find that quotation. So from here, you can see that you don't find any one verse in Revelation as a direct quote. So that's the feature, that's the characteristic of John. So now you will find out how he became the Word of God. Not by reciting the word of God, or not try to memorize by heart. No, for sure, that's not his way. So there must be some way then. But somehow we know that the word of God was behind him. He was impressed by the word of God in general, in a huge picture, not word for word, but at least a huge picture. And then, based on those pictures, he wrote the last book of Revelation. It is wonderful. For example, he said, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, he did not invent that phrase. But of course, in Old Testament, you don't find exact phrase, I am Alpha and Omega, but something very similar. Now, I will give you as a homework. Try to find in the Old Testament where now one day when John studied the word, not only studied, he meditated on the word of God. Meditation, you see? So I mean, one of the features of the life of a word with on the part of John was this. Now when he studied the word, somehow he meditated. He could not find an exact word because he was not a scholar at all. You know, he don't want to analyze. He just put some general picture. Now that's exactly what happened when a child was born. Exactly when a child was born. You know, when the child was born, when he was in the bosom of his mother. Now, probably after 2 or 3 days, in the first day he only see the black. He only see some light. But after 2 or 3 days, then he can see a face, beautiful face. You see, he was impressed with that face. So that explains why everybody celebrates Mother's Day, not Father's Day. You see, because now father never put his face before that baby, but that's just general impression, And that impression really something very, very deep. And out of that sweet communion, fellowship between mother and the baby, and the baby was impressed with some kind of picture. So remember, brothers and sisters, that's how John studied his word. Not analytical. No, he cannot do that. He probably was very, very poor in mathematics. Paul probably is much better. You see, so he cannot analyze the phrase, he cannot put logic to it, but he knows the general impression, and that general impression was correct. Then based on that general impression, God gave him revelation. So brothers and sisters, let me repeat that phrase again. I think that's very important. What did he say? He said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now my words, that word in Greek is rhema. So now you know the secret. If you abide in me, that's what our Lord says. If we abide in him, then my rhema, the rhema from the Lord, will be abiding in us. So important thing is, how long you abide in Christ. Then this will be measured about how much rhema you will receive. So brothers and sisters, now when John studied the word like that, so we must say that all the Old Testament for him is all general picture. You just cannot analyze it. You know, it's like two generations of computer. In the early computer, you know, when you want to present a picture, now you have to do like this line finally, and you have to scan everything finally here. Okay. Now in the modern generation, now the computer is possible to get immediately a whole picture. So when you go to line by line, it's analytic. So it's like Paul. But when you really get the whole general picture, so it is just what happened to Paul, to John. Why? Because John really abided in Christ. Think about it, he was almost 100 years old. Since Jesus ascended to heaven, almost 70 years. And he still remember, you know, other Peter may forget. So that's why we don't find abiding Christ in gospel according to God, no. And only in this chapter, our Lord talk about, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, brothers and sisters, and only John, the apostle of love, he really had that wonderful fellowship with our Lord. He abided in Christ. Because at that time, because of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit already come down. So formally, he followed the Lord in his body, physically. But now, he followed the Lord in his spirit. So every time when he studied the Old Testament, either Daniel or Jeremiah and so on and so forth. Then, brothers and sisters, when he contacted the Word of God, he asked, he was abiding in Christ. In another word, he had a wonderful fellowship with the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit will let the whole picture impress deeply in his heart. Now that's the outcome of his fellowship with the Lord. You see, that's very, very important. And that impression sometimes very, very, is the deep impression. So that's why I remember one of the great scholars, John Bangle. You know, today we owe him a lot about the New Testament Greeks. Definitely. And he was a famous Bible scholar, and he was actually I forgot whether it's University of Tübingen or in Germany, for some one of the great universities. Most likely possible University of Tübingen. So, and because his scholarship was well recognized, and his students really loved him. But the reason they loved him, not because he was a scholar. You know, I think when you are in the university, you know who are the scholars, who are the professors. You know, they may be very good, but they may not be very lovable. No, but this brother John Bangle was different. So they admire him. They want to know why make this scholar different. You know, so one of the students was very naughty. He just climbed into the window into his study, through the window into his study. And then he will watch him, what he's doing. And then he really opened his Bible. And then he prayed. He said, Lord Jesus, this is another occasion that we may meet together. So it's another occasion we will meet again. We meet again. So through the Word of God, you see, John Bangle was have wonderful communion with the Lord. So this is the way how John studied his Word. Now today we owe much to John Bangle and his brothers, his other brothers, because his school is now, if you study the history, you know that these people are called Pietists. Not only he was Pietist, also Zinzendorf was also Pietist. Now Zinzendorf, when he was 6 years old, he actually lived in a castle, but every day he wrote a love letter to the Lord Jesus. So after he finished, and then he threw that window, he threw that letter out of the window, and he prayed. He had the Lord, please send an angel to get that letter, because that means that letter for you. You see, when he was only 6 years old, so that's the typical. That's the typical the Pietists. Now, why Pietists? That was such a reaction to a so-called. So-called reform, after the Reformation, then people were occupied with the doctrine, with the truth of gospel truth. So everybody become very scholarly, become very accurate, become very exact. Then they forgot that the Word of God, not only to present the truth, also present the life and the way. So they want to keep that balance. So from that time on, you know, when they study the Word, they not only use their mind, they also use their heart. They want to abide in Christ. So remember, this is a wonderful way, and there was a silver line in the church history. And from that time on, then people study the Bible this way. So from that line, you have Spurgeon. From that line, you have Campbell Morgan. From that line, you have Watchman Nee. Now, brothers and sisters, they have a great contribution in how to study the Word. Thank the Lord for John Wesley and also for Calvin, for example. These were great scholars. Many reformers came from Cambridge or came from Oxford or from great university. God used them just like a Paul. But there's a possibility, brothers and sisters. If you are only occupied with the gospel truth, fine. But don't forget, our Lord said, I am truth, I am the way, and also I am the life. Actually, you almost cut whole Bible into three parts and only present people one part. And thank the Lord through these Pietists, we inherit something from them. And that's why today, now when we study the Word, now we can keep the balance, you see. And this is the way we should study the Word of God. So now you can imagine, you know, when you really abide in Christ, definitely you will be like Psalm chapter 1 verse 2. When you talk about the Word of God, you always meditate day and night. So brothers and sisters, yesterday I talked about some Brazilians, at least 105 young people there, each one they memorized the whole book of New Testament. Now in the beginning you probably will say, well, so what? But then, after a few years, brothers and sisters, if they really meditate upon the Word of God, you see, they meditate. Now, and so then gradually, now Holy Spirit will impress, will give the impression to them. Finally, you see, they will have rhema. They have a living Word. Then Holy Spirit can apply that Word and can remind that Word, remind the Word God has spoken to us first time. So that's how John studied his Word. For example, I have no time anymore. If you, for example, about Babylon in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Now, for sure you know that John has some allusions from the Old Testament. But actually you cannot pinpoint which verse. Only thing you know is Jeremiah chapter 50-51, Isaiah 13, 14, 21, 47, and 48. That's all. So that's what happened to John. So you see, brothers and sisters, thank the Lord for Paul. Also thank the Lord for John. And we pray that somehow the Lord will keep this equilibrium in our life. On one hand, now you have been equipped in the university with some kind of capacity. We know how to analyze, we know how to put things together, and we know how to calculate. Thank the Lord for that. But this way you can find out the seed is singular or plural, you know. For John, probably he never noticed whether singular or plural. That's just like Chinese, you know. In Chinese language, you don't care whether they or he. You don't know, because if you read Chinese, you don't know whether it's singular or plural. So we need when we study the Bible, we need this sight, no doubt. But on the other hand, if you are true scholarly, if you are true intellectual, true analytic, then the Lord cannot use you too much, because your function will be very, very limited. So for that reason, now, that's only logos. So how logos can be transformed into rhema? The secret is very simple. Abide in Christ. You already have the word. So, and I would thank the Lord for Paul. You know, the time he spent in the school of Gamaliel never lost in the sight of God. But he had to go one step further. He has to abide in Christ. Now, finally, the Lord will give him the life. That's very, very important. So if the Lord give you some kind of capacity, thank the Lord. If you are very good in your memory, thank the Lord for that gift. And the Lord will use that then to enrich the locus. But that's not enough. That's only prepare the foundation. Even today you get a DD from anywhere, brother and sister. That only means that now the soil is ready. Holy Spirit is going to plant something, plant some seed. Then everything will become rhema. Everything will become living. Then if it is living in you, definitely it will also will be living to other people. So by this way, you know, the rhema is the spirit and the life. So it speaks of the word of life. I think this is, I think this should be very, very important. So I think that's all about the man. How can we, you know, we should be like a Paul, and at the same time we should be like John. But the secret is this. Now you need the foundation, and Paul laid the foundation. You need to memorize, to analyze, to do many things, to use all wisdom. Let the logos of Christ dwell in you richly, or inside you, not outside you. And then, finally, you have to abide in Christ. Have a wonderful fellowship with Him. Let the Lord speak to you through the word He had deposited in you. Now, brothers, if you are rich in logos, then at the same time, if you really dwell, if you abide in Christ, then the rhema will be very, very rich. So I think this is a wonderful thing. And I think John himself really received that much. So you see, that's why if you study the whole Gospel of John, it can be divided into three parts. First seven chapters, then 8 to 12, then 13 to the last three. Okay? Now, if you really do the analysis, you'll find that now the word light is dominant in the first section. Life. Then light in the second section. Then love in the last one. It's all with the big capital L, you see. And then in the first section, John tells us God is spirit. So, you see, that's light. And then the second part, remember, John received the revelation, God is light. And also, another wonderful phrase, God is love. So this actually summarizes what he has discovered in Christ, objectively. But at the same time, now because God is love, God is spirit, that's why now they have to walk in the spirit. So you discover the first seven chapters about life, see, spiritual life. And then light, and finally love. So you see, brothers and sisters, now even John himself was not a scholar, but if you are really dwelling in Christ, if you really abide in Christ, God can make something out of it, to our surprise. So I would say, brothers and sisters, for almost 100 years, people never, intellectual world, they never believed that John was the author. That's why they call it fourth gospel. Anyone who can write that one. They don't know the author, that's all. Their conclusion is that the author must be a great scholar, must be from like school of Gamaliel or one of the best universities. It was wrong. So thank the Lord. If we really follow the Lord and become the follower of the Lamb, then sooner or later, you will be covered by the Spirit of the Lamb. And with that Spirit, now you can use the word like a bosom. Now you can use the word like love, like life, light, and love. So that's why in the Bible, walk in the Spirit, walk in the light, and walk in love. Now that's Christian life. And no wonder everybody believes that John's gospel is spiritual gospel. It's unique compared with any other three. Complete different category. So I think that's enough, brothers and sisters, about the man, how we should be prepared, how we should be equipped to appreciate the word, to enter into the riches of the word. Not only will we be rich in logos, also will be rich in rhema. Now we will come to the methods. Okay, we don't have much time left, but I will do it quite quickly. Just give you some, because I really don't know. Your level of, which level you are in with the Bible. So that's why sometimes, I was very hesitant. You know, there is a problem with some people rush into Bible school. They go to theological school, something like that, you really have a big jump. You see, now, when you are in the university, you may be very good in physics, chemistry, but probably your Bible is still in the kindergarten. Or primary school. But immediately you jump to graduate school. That's a problem. You see, when you want to study Gospel of Matthew, then you pick up any book. Now, if you got the book by the author, by Bookman, then you're in trouble. You see what I mean? And he considered this whole gospel as a myth. And actually, he said God, the Lord Jesus never said those words because the church put the word in the mouth of our Lord. So then when you were impressed, that was very dangerous. So that's why I say, brothers and sisters, now we have to confess. Now, I don't know which level you are in today. So what I'm thinking is this, I just do it in a very general way. And we still can communicate. Now we have email today. So we still can help brothers and sisters through emails. Now if you really want to make your decision, you really set your mind, you really want to study the word, you really want to be enriched by the word, now we try every way to help you. So this is only the beginning. So this afternoon, I just mentioned several things. So first, I will talk about basic study. Then I talk about the advanced one, okay? Some of you already passed through the basic study already at that level. You want to go to advanced, well, fine. So I try to mention both. I will do it very, very quickly. Before I forget, now yesterday we suggest to you a software, Bible software called PC Study, and our brother Xu from Vancouver, he brought his computer, his laptop here, and he already had that software. So any one of you who really want to know how it operates, so after this meeting, you can go to the table in the back. Now, our brother Xu will tell you what to do, how to operate it. So at least you will get some idea how to use it, how you can use it, okay? So before I forget. Now, I will talk about basic studies. Now, first thing you have to remember, when you study the word, at least you should prepare two Bibles. Okay? Now one Bible is for your devotional time. Another Bible is for your Bible study. That means you want to go deeper. And, Griffith Thomas called one Bible, the Bible for knowledge. Another one, the Bible for power. Okay, so you need two kinds of two Bibles. Now, in the Bible for knowledge, you can put some note, anything you like. You can put any symbol there. But the Bible for power, you shouldn't put anything there. Always keep it blank. Because the problem is this, the why? Because, now, when we talk about basic study, now we are talking, we also talk about devotional study. That means every day, now some of us, we should separate probably 15 minutes or 10 minutes. Okay, and you are doing nothing, just going to the Lord, and then open your Bible, and now you ask the Lord speak to you through the Word, through the Bible. Then you respond with your prayer. So that's our devotional time. Now, I consider this as a very basic thing. I hope that everyone should learn how to do it. Okay, now, of course, when in your devotional hour, you should have a Bible, all blank, then you don't put any note there. The reason is that if you put some note there, that means you got something probably 2 years ago. Okay. Now today, and when you have devotional time, then you try to read your note. Then you are influenced by the, you see what I mean? Actually, God probably wants to give you something fresh today. But then, because by those notes, that mind again going back to the same track, so that will limit your vision, will limit the scope of your vision. So that's very important. When you go to the Lord, when you study the Word, now, brother and sister, this is most wonderful. This most wonderful thing. This is called morning watch. Now, it's very old-fashioned. Probably today, young people won't do it anymore. But don't forget, a morning watch started with young people probably 100 years ago. Okay, many brothers and sisters, they love the Lord. And they want to give the best time. Because in the early morning, that's the most wonderful time to have a fellowship with the Lord. But young people, they all like to sleep, right? So then a team of young people, they encourage one another. So now they said, okay, now if you get up, so you light the first candle. But then you should not go back to sleep. You should give this candle to the next one to wake the next one up. And then give the candle to him. Then he cannot continue to sleep. He should pass on to the another one. By this way, the whole team will go to some place and some morning watch. Some devotional time, some individual time with the Lord. Now we have to learn that, brothers and sisters, especially a young brother. This is a wonderful habit. This is supposed to be our daily reading, daily practice. Every day you just select one portion. And you don't have to read the whole chapter. Just slowly, you know. Just slowly. Like sometimes when you drink tea, now if you just swallow it, you won't enjoy it, you know. You have to do it slowly sometimes. So then just even you don't have finished one sentence. And try to be before the Lord. And so probably just after a half sentence, the Lord already speaks something. You know, somehow the Holy Spirit remind you something, speak to you. Then don't read again. Continue late. Immediately respond with your prayer. Then that's it. You see, brothers and sisters, don't make it ritual. And don't be too long. If too long, it won't last very long. Okay. So if every day just 10 minutes or 20 minutes, that should be enough. So then you can have your some other duty because you are so busy in the school or you know. So that's enough. But this should be your devotional. So this, but you need this kind of Bible for power. You see, that's why. With this this like power machine, when you really read the Bible this way, then you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So I think this is quite basic. So I just mentioned it. Then of course you need the Bible for knowledge. Okay. Then of course you can make any notes or any symbols there. Should be all right. But then I will talk about one basic study or one plan. Okay. Now this plan is this. You probably should make a decision before the Lord whether you would like to spend 2 years or 4 years. If you are already out of university, I suggest 2 years. If you are already still in the university, I suggest 4 years because that won't make the burden too heavy. Now the idea is this. You will spend 2 years, apply your hearts. Now, you make a decision before the Lord. at least you should read through from Genesis to Revelation, at least once or two, even three times, fine. But when you do that, I forgot to mention another thing. Aside from devotional study, there is so-called daily reading. That's also very important, and that's aside from the 2 years plan I'm talking about. Now, that daily reading actually means this. You see, no matter what, you make decision. You try to make yourself a law. That's all right. And then you said, I would like to read 3 chapters Old Testament and 1 chapter New Testament every day. Now, you have to do it every day, okay? So if every day you just devoted 20 minutes, 15 minutes for Old Testament, 5 minutes for New Testament. Now, these 5 minutes, try to study 1 chapter of Old New Testament, and then 15 minutes Old Testament. So probably in the early morning, 5 minutes, that's all. And then before you go to bed, when you're very tired, then three chapters of Old Testament, okay? But no matter what, now, just read it every day like this. Then you will read it through once after 1 year. So for sure, if you're doing that, then at the end of the year, you will finish your Bible once. But remember, when you do this, that means you do it quickly. Then you just try to follow that. You just try to fit that every day, 3 chapters and 1 chapter. That's all. Now, sometimes it may be very dry, but no matter what, you just go through it. Now, whether you are impressed or not, fine, just go through it. Then, next day, go to the second 3 chapters. So by this way, brothers and sisters, now, even to your surprise, after 1 year, probably sometimes you say, oh, I didn't get much, but still, you read through the Bible once for a whole year. Then, suppose today you are 20 years, after 20 years, when you are 40, when you reach your 40 years of age, then you already have 20 times of the Bible. So, brothers, even you are very busy, I think you still can have this daily reading. This is very, very important. Now, George Muller, when he was very old, he thanked the Lord. He has accomplished 60 times of the Bible, read them through. Now, I still remember a true story. One day, a brother who went to a missionary home. Now, you know, old missionary, they have a family Bible. A family Bible, very big one. Very big one. And then he discovered this hole in the Bible. Because, you know, the bookworm tried to eat the bookworm. And something very interesting, he saw take this family Bible like this, then you can see through from here to there. So he was so touched. He said, Lord, please make me the bookworm. Then I can eat from Genesis through Revelation. So, brother and sister, are you willing to make such a prayer before the Lord? We would like to be that kind of bookworm. Every year, let us eat from Genesis through Revelation. Make it through. So that is a wonderful thing. So I think this is just a suggestion. But aside from that, I said, that is different. That means you really have to separate some time, okay? Separate some time to study it. So this is called, probably 2 years or 4 years plan. Now the purpose is very simple. Now you want to have a general idea or impression about the whole Bible. Now that's what we ought to be. As the Lord, as the children of the Lord, of God. Now, it's a shame if we don't have a general impression. We should have a general impression. So, for example, you would do it book by book, and then you do a little bit, go a little deeper for you to have input, try to grasp, master some kind of facts. Now, that's very important. So, every one of you, brothers and sisters, you should decide before the Lord whether you want to spend 2 years or you want to spend 4 years. Now, if you spend 4 years, then you will get dual degree. Now, 1 degree in physics, another 1 degree in Bible. Now, only the Lord can offer you that degree. You see, so it's up to you. So this is only a challenge. I did challenge the young people in Hong Kong. I said, for them in the college, now, I know today many people, they got your degree. I sometimes just wonder, how can they manage it? You see? But if they want to have more money, they will do it. Now, you won't have more money if you study your Bible, but you really have more, much more spiritual wealth will be added to you. So I think this is a good challenge. You, brother and sister, do you think that at least after 2 years, 4 years, as a Christian, at least we should have a general idea about the whole Bible? You see? So we need to be, so by this way, you know, at least we should have that. Now I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you really do that, you can challenge any people who went to the Bible college, and ask them. Now, they have spent 4 years or 2 years in the theological school. What did they receive? They received much, yes. They received theology. They know theology. They know something about the Bible, except Bible itself. But, of course, I cannot generalize too much. You see, now, important thing is this, brothers and sisters. You will feel shame as if you don't know the Word of God. So sometimes if people ask me, now, can I go to the Bible school? I always answer like this. I say, if you really want to, what are you going to study your Bible? Or you want to study psychology or some music? That's a different story. If you really want to study Bible, okay, then my suggestion is this. Now, study your Bible before you enter into the school. Now, don't expect you go to school, then you study Bible. Then, one day you will discover you are indeed in the Bible college. Wonderful, but you are busy with something about the Bible, not necessarily the Bible itself. So you see, brothers and sisters, let us learn from Campbell Morgan. Campbell Morgan never went to a formal school, not even college, if I'm not mistaken. He never entered into a Bible college, never. And his successor, Dr. Lloyd Jones, was a doctor, was a medical doctor. You know, he was a heart surgeon. And a brother and sister, and he was rich in the Word of God. So, brother and sister, something very important. Are we willing to apply our heart? So, indeed, we really want to have a general impression about the Word of God. So by this way, brothers, when you study it, and then after 2 years or 4 years, you will feel very happy, and you will feel satisfaction. And we, some people in New York, they really did that. Now they almost finished. They probably are going to finish this October. After 2 years, now if you ask any of them, they will tell you they really learn a lot from the Lord. They really learn at the feet of our Lord. So this is just an idea I suggest to you. You know, now if you want to devote your 2 years or 4 years just to have such a study plan, now doing nothing, okay, not just concentrate on a certain book, no, you won't dwell on a certain book very long, no. At least with using 2 years or 4 years, you will go through the whole Bible. You cannot go deeper, but at least you can master somehow each book of the Bible. But of course, you need some help, okay? Now, you can divide your time. I think you use your computer. You know how to do it, okay? You know how many chapters, and then you know how to divide them. So I think that's up to you. But important thing, you have to make your decision. But then you need some help. The help is this. Now, we learned some, for example, if you really try to write Chinese writing, even English writing, the same thing, okay? So before you learn how to write, sometimes you need a copy book, right? Or even A, B, C, for example. You need some book. Some people already write A, then you just write exactly same thing. But that's how we learn to write, especially if you want to write a beautiful Chinese writing. Now, from the very beginning, they definitely go through the copybooks. You know, you will buy lots of copybooks and good copybooks, different style, different font, for example. Then you can write exactly like that. So, in order for you to go through that, you need some kind of copybook. That's very, very important. For example, many people, they like the typology. Okay, type, you see, it's fascinating. For example, how Rebecca read from the church, and how, you know, and all these wonderful stories, Isaac and Rebecca, and their typology there. But of course, don't forget, the typology has some danger there. That's why today many theological schools, they are very cautious. Now the reason is nothing wrong with the typology, something wrong with us. Because some people, they may go wild, they may go out of tangent and say something very funny, you know. And that happened in the church history. So for that reason, you really have to learn how other people study typology. How do they do it? So you need to pick up good copybook. For example, suppose you want to study typology. Then I would suggest a series of books called The Note on the Pentateuch. The Five Book of Moses. Now, well, it was written by C.H.M. McIntosh. Now, you remember one day D.L. Moody, you know, he was a great evangelist. After he preached the gospel, one day he became very dry. So he said, I have to go deeper with the word. So he went to London, and then they met the brethren there. And one of them was McIntosh. He was greatly helped by this wonderful series, The Notes on the Pentateuch. So one day, D.L. Moody made the comment. He said that if one day the whole universe burned, I only want my Bible and the note on the Pentateuch. So that's a famous statement. You know, whether it's overstatement or not, that's a different story. But no matter what, my brother said, you know how important it is, how good is that book? Now, I tell you, brothers, if you really want to know typology, pick up this series of books and go through them. And you study your Bible and go through them one by one. And then you will learn a lot. You see that, brothers and sisters? That's very important. You need a good, good copybook. Now, if you go to the Watchman Nee's E-Search Scripture, he has plans for Bible study, 28 plans. Okay. Now, in the beginning, you probably thought that Brother Nee has studied everything. Now, when I was young, I thought he must be very great. But later, I discovered, actually, these are the plans in the church history being studied by different people. And some of them, they did so well. So we can pick them as a good copybook. So I think we are preparing these copybooks for you. Okay, but before we do that, you should give us some email address. Then we can mail to you. We try to compile them, and then we will base on this plan. Okay, and we try to find a good copybook book for you. Now, my problem before, I really admire this book a lot, and when I was young, I tried to follow this book. I couldn't go so far. The reason is that nobody told me that I need a copybook. Because I always think when he talk about something, for example, like a word study. Now, somehow I got the impression that you have to do it originally all by yourself. Now, it's impossible. It's already a very good dictionary, a divine dictionary. And he did a wonderful research just like that. He did that. So what you do is this, you apply that copybook and you go through it by yourself. Then you get it. He probably spent his whole life for that, and then you just get it from there. So the most wise man today is that let us try to get the riches of Christ, which has already been deposited in his body. So brothers and sisters, so important thing is, if you really can get this copy book, then on the one hand, you are safe. On the other hand, you really go through with it. Okay? So, for example, you really go through Pentateuch and read it with that book, and then try to find out how he studied, why he said this, why Joseph is the type of Christ, why? Okay, so he quotes some Bible verse, and you also go to those Bible verses, then you know how to study types. That's very important. Today, people, they talk about types, they never go through some kind of training. So that's how we will be trained. I think this is very important. Okay. Now, the same thing about this 2 years plan or 4 years plan. Now, if you go through the whole book, you really need a very, very good copybook. So this copy book, I always recommend to everybody. That is The Unfolding Drama of Redemption by Scroggie. The Unfolding Drama of Redemption by Scroggie. So that's the copy book, because this book, they thick, okay? But you have to be patient. You should supposed to chew it, not just, to, you know what I mean by chewing, you see? Then you have to read it again and again and again with your Bible. So for example, suppose you read the Genesis part, okay? Now, you have to decide 5 times, 10 times, or you decide it. That, now, before you finish it, you will not consult with any book, not even Scroggie. But after you say, okay, 5th time, 5 times, or 10 times, okay, if you finish that, then you begin go through that book, and you only look for the part which belongs to Genesis. And you read it, you'll find there is some lot of good table there. And then, when you study your Bible, you probably never discover it. For example, when Jacob, you know, cheated his father's blessing, remember? And we thought he must be very young, 20 or 30. But then, if you go to that book, there's a wonderful table about the life of like Jacob. Now, when he steal that blessing, he was already 77. Can you believe that? But don't believe that 77. You have to prove it. You see, this is only a suggestion. Prove it. So if you do that, now you will grab, you will master all the fact. I will tell you, brothers and sisters, we have to thank the Lord for Scroggie. He really studied the Bible. Finally, the word was so rich, people just gave him a DD. That's all. So today we read it, because he really has such analytical power. Wonderful, wonderful. So just by this book, $40, I know. But if you contact Brother Matt, he's still in this campus, and you buy from him from probably $24. Okay? So, and also, you can buy it from the second-hand bookstore. Another thing, I will mention many copy books, okay? Even email to you. Then probably you will say, where we can buy it? Now you have a place to buy it. Go to abe.com. Okay, ABE's Advanced Book Exchange. Now, according to my experience, you can get any kind, almost every kind of book, if you have money. Okay, so it can be $10, it can be $100, $1,000. It's always there. I find it's very useful. So just go to that, ABE.com. Okay, then you will get probably all the book you want, just with a certain price. Okay, so that's important. Now, aside from that, now if you can have another book by Scroggie, should be good, called Know Your Bible, 2 volumes. In the old edition, it's called Know Your Bible. Now, in the new edition, called Handbook of the Bible by Scroggie. Now, that one's good, because that one, he give you some skeleton of for each book, give you some general idea. So that would be nice. But then, the Unfolding Drama of Redemption, you really go to detail, give you all the tables and all this. And I think you will get lots of help from there. Okay. So I think that's the program. Now, important thing is that you have to be before the Lord and see what you want to do. Now, if you really want to do, and we really can help you, you know, I personally want to help you, and also a group of brothers just really want to help you. If you cannot find any book, we try to find one for you, and we try to inform you many other things. So what we are thinking is this. After this, we try to do it quickly. We try to compile something. For example, these 28 plans, we try to get a copy book, just one, no more than. For the Genesis, just one. If possible, we try to go to 66 books, each book, try to pick up one copy book, that's all. Okay? And then, if you really want to apply your heart, you can do it. And also, I have a suggestion, brother and sister. Brother Nee has 28 plans, right? So, in your fellowship, I don't know where, I don't know whether in Vancouver or in New York or any place, try to find 28 young people. Now each one try to apply themselves, just study for that plan. You understand? And that's spend some time, and then after 1 year you have 28 people. Almost, this is almost all the Bible study in the church history. Then it what in history now it can be transferred to locally, to your local fellowship. So I challenge you, brothers and sisters. Now, if you don't have enough young people, try to talk to other people and be together. And especially, if you really be in certain fellowship, and it's wonderful if you can get 28, or if not, fine, or even half. Just pick up some kind of topics for your study, and then, brothers, we will supply you some copybook. Then, with that, with the help of that, go through. For example, Gospel of John. I have no time. Gospel of John. That's the best one. For example, by Westcott. That's the most scholarly one. Very solid. You see. So probably you will go through Gospel of John just by that book. With that book, that will give you great help. Now, I think many other people, brothers and sisters, they already received much help. I know not only New York, Hong Kong also, and also Kansas City, some brothers and sisters, they're also doing that. So I think we can have more fellowship through email. So before we dismiss, I will ask Sister Priscilla try to distribute the paper for each role, and then you can write down your name and your email. Okay, tell me where you are, your name and your address, your city, and the email, that's all. Okay, so please, no, just eat one, just pass for. Yeah, one. You mean for this? Yeah, is it possible? Yeah, one sheet for you, okay? Yeah. Yeah, then just pass on, okay? Now, while you are reading, while you are writing something, I give you some other information which probably will be useful, okay? Some instrumental books. So while you are writing, now I try to give you something, more information, before we conclude this meeting. Now, of course, when you study your Bible, you need a Bible, okay? Now, for your own study, general study, I would suggest either New American Standard or New King James. Now, because New American Standard was quite accurate. Now, NIV is good for you preach the gospel to the unbelievers. Okay, but if you study if you really make study, really apply your heart to a Bible study, then two books are must. One is the Bible translated by Darby's Bible. Now, according to F.F. Bruce, great scholar, he believed that that's the best translation in the English world. So it's very accurate. And then you need another one called Young's Literal Translation by Robert Young. That one. Now, if you have these two putting together, you don't have to worry about original language. Because these two, Robert Young, okay? Young, Y-O-U-N-G. So you need these two. And please go to website. You can look. You can find this too, all in the public domain. Okay. And don't worry, because after you write down your email, and when we send back your information, we'll tell you where to get these two versions, and you can cut and paste. So these two are very useful. Okay, Darby and Young, because with these two, and this also strongly recommended by Brother Stephen Kong. Now, he believed that if you really have got these two versions, you almost then not far from original. So you don't have to know English, know Greek or Hebrew too well, okay? So that's the Bible you need. And have a concordance. Now, today, you all have a concordance in your computer. But if you really want to buy one concordance, now you have a Strong, you have Young, and a Crudence. Now, my suggestion is Young. The reason not because you are young people, no. Now, because Young has more entries. When you look for a dictionary, you have to see how many entries they have. So definitely Young much better, okay? And then dictionary. Now, the Bible Soft already give you two good dictionary. One is International Standard Bible Encyclopedia by James Ward, recommended by Brother Nee. And also, another one is Smith's Dictionary of the Bible. Now, if you go to bookstore, normally you get one volume. That's not the one you want. And you want a four-volume one. You can go to ABE and find it out. Okay, not too expensive, I think. And then you need, but these are quite old, so you need something new one. So this new Unger's Bible Dictionary, Unger, okay? So that's again in the Bible soft. So if you want a dictionary, now that's probably what you need. How about commentaries? I'm talking about serious commentary. I only recommend three. I know one famous one is Matthew Henry. That's famous one, but not the best one. The reason it was famous, because Whitfield read that commentary through by kneeling down. Now that's what it make it famous. But I'm not sure that's too useful, but it's very, it's famous one. So I will recommend three serious commentary. Try to look for them, okay? First is by John Peter Lang, L-A-N-G-E. John Peter Lang, L-A-N-G, that German, you know. I don't know why Spurgeon did like German very much, because Spurgeon thought they are not spiritual, okay, only British are spiritual. But anyway, they wrote a wonderful, wonderful commentary series called Lang's Commentary Series. 8 volumes in the Old Testament, 10 volumes in New Testament. That's enough, okay, that's whole series. And I tried to look for that. And the Old Testament, if you only Old Testament, the best one is Kiel and Delitzsch, K-E-I-L, D-E-L-I-T-Z-S-C-H, Delitzsch, okay? So this, again, German, okay? The Biblical Commentary on the Old Testament. Now, BibleSoft already have that series. So if you want to learn any book of Old Testament, go to that series. Very trustworthy. I mean, you don't have to worry. And then New Testament one, okay? New Testament again, whole series. Look for the book by Dean Alford, A L F O R D, Dean Henry Alford. Now he has one Greek Testament. Don't buy that one. That one you will be in trouble. Lots of Greeks is Greek to you. Okay. So what you need is the New Testament for English reader. For English reader, now again, it was published by Baker, but try to look for it that, and try to get that. So if you really have these Bibles, and then you're almost quite close to the original, and if you know this commentary, I think it will be wonderful, okay? So I think that's all for this time together. Now, we have to commit to the Lord that, you know, this is, and now, after we receive your email, we want to send some material to you, and we want to communicate with you. And if you make any decision, let us know. If you need any help, just let us know. I think we will. I will also give you my email. Okay, but only I receive your email address. Then I receive you, and then we try to have communicate some fellowship. And hopefully, you know, through this network, we really can go on with the Lord. So now. So let's, and please, after you finish, and finally give to Sister Priscilla, okay? Then let's have a word of prayer to conclude this meeting. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this time together, and we thank you for these dear young ones, and many brothers and sisters who love you so much, who want to apply their hearts to your word. So we pray that, Lord, and transform us, make us Paul or John. In some way, we will be like them, that we will be equipped to and for understanding your word. So, Lord, we thank you for your testimony's sake. Lord, make us equipped. And we say we are here. So, Lord, in these days, move our heart that we will make a decision before you and how we are going to follow your steps. And so, Lord, we really commit this word into your hand. We pray that you continue to work among us. Thank you so much for this wonderful time. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.